Okay, Bismillah, wassalat, wassalam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa man wala wa ba'd. Today, this is our 36th session, 36 Arabic lessons in Fiqh, Level 3, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And the topic that we've been dealing with is Kitab al-Zakat, and more particularly the Sa'ima, yani the free grazing livestock. In the previous two sessions we dealt with camels, the Zakat, the Nisab, and the amount of the Zakat that's due on camels. And last week we dealt with cattle, cows. And today, inshallah, we're going to deal with sheep and goats, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. What is the nisab and what is the value, the qima of the zakat that's due for the person who possesses this type of wealth? Before we start, there are two things that we need to do. The first one is I need to state openly and clearly that we're going to end the class on time today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So let's try to stay focused and stick to the topic and complete the topic so that we can do everything in its time. Second thing is quickly review what we covered concerning the cow, the zakat on cattle last week. If anybody can help us, yeah, Abdul Haq. طيب يموه فضل
وإذا بلغ 60
تبيعان تو
وإذا بلغ 70 تبيعان ومستنة وإذا بلغ من ذوي
Okay. Yeah, so, basically, what we said last week, as he has mentioned now, is that the nisab, the minimum nisab for cattle, for cows, is the minimum amount. Person has to have at least 30 cows in order for them to be required to give zakat. So if they have less than that, maduna, 30, then there's no zakat on them, and they don't have to give anything. Once it reaches 30, then they have to give, they have to give what when it reaches 30? He said tabi'a or tabi'atun? One male or female?
One year.
One male or female? 1 year. Okay, and that is, what is required when the person reaches a minimum of 30, up until and including 39. Up until including 39. If it passed 39 and reached 40, then 40 they have to give what? A 2 year old. Musanna. Naam, who completed 2 years of their life and entered into the third year. And this is good for 40 up until 59. Up until 59 they have to give 1 2-year-old. 1 2-year-old. If they reach 60, then they have to give 2 1-year-olds up until 69. And if they reach 70, 40 and 30 are 1 year-old and 2 year-old. And if they reach 80 and so on like this. So that, the calculation would be in accordance with minimum of 30. If there's 30, they give a 1 year-old. If it reaches 40, they give a 2 year-old. So it would always be counted. Every increase of 10 would either be 30 or 40. 2 30s. 2 40s, a 30 and a 40, and so on like this. Groups of 30 and 40 cows. So the zakat will be calculated accordingly. Now, They have to be free grazing animals. Now, meaning that these animals are eating from the land, from that which grows in the earth naturally by the yani action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, anything else? They have to be free grazing. They have to reach the nisab. And they have to... Yani we said that in zakat, generally speaking, there are two conditions, generally speaking. That they have to reach the nisab, whatever is the nisab for that type of wealth. And they also have to... Al-hawl, hawl alayhi hawl. Yani they have to possess that nisab, minimum amount, for at least 1 year. Here we have a third condition, and that is that this animal has to be free grazing most of the year, the majority of the year, even if the owner feeds them sometimes. But if they are free grazing from the land of what grows in the earth naturally by the permission of Allah, then yani this is also a condition, has to be free grazing, sa'ima. And this also is applicable to camels, except that of course the minimum nisab for camels is less than it is for cattle, and the minimum nisab for camels is what?
Five.
At least five. If it's less than five, there's no zakat. And from 5 to 9, they have to give one sheep. And from 10 to 14, two sheeps. And from 15 to 19, they have to give three sheeps. And from 20 to 24, they have to give four sheeps. And if it reaches 25, they have to give a camel.
1 year
old female. Okay, and then that's from 25 is up until 30, 35. 25 to 35. And from 36 to 45. And from 46 to 60. And from 61 to 75. And 76 to 90. And from 91 to 120. Yani, in the first category of 5 to 9, they have to give what? Yani, one sheep, two sheep. Yani, for the next category, 3 and 4, and then a 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old. And the last two categories, they have to give what? Two female, what year, what age?
Two
2-year-olds, and the last one, two 3-year-olds. Naam. This is the general calculation for camels and cows. And today, inshallah, we want to look at the sheep and goats. And again, we want to emphasize the point that the basic conditions for zakat to become obligatory on someone is that they possess this wealth. This is basic, and there's some exceptions, obviously. And they have to reach the minimum nisab, whatever it is. For camels, it's 5 camels, and for cows, it's 30 is the minimum nisab. And as we'll see today, for goats and sheep, and it's a different minimum nisab. They have to possess the minimum nisab. They have to possess it for a whole year. And in the case of the free grazing livestock, it has to be yani that they are free grazing most of the year, more than they are being fed. There are a number of points that we mentioned last week that yani also included in our discussion. But for the sake yani of time, yani this should be sufficient as a review, just as a reminder to us of some of what we covered in the last two sessions. Today, in the reminder for the class, I mentioned that we're going to be reading from page 58. Actually, the title for this topic begins on the bottom of 57, and then the main topic is on page 58. And there's also a reference to Bulugh Maram with the Ta'liq, the commentary of Sheikh Safi al-Rahman on page 173 and 174, where he gives a lot of the definitions of the words that came in the hadith and some clarifications of some of the linguistic matters to clarify yani what that text entails. And then I also gave a reference, unfortunately we don't have a PDF file for the book of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, Al-Jami' li-Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah. He also discussed this matter in the second volume of that series, second volume, page 83 and 84. I'm going to read something from that as well. Okay, so we're going to start with our textbook, Arabic Lessons in Fiqh, Level 3, Islamic University of Medina. And the title for this topic is on page 57, on the bottom of the page, number 3, Al-Ghanam. Al-Ghanam. In general, what do we mean by Al-Ghanam? What does that pretty much entail? What is Al-Ghanam? Naam, Abdul Aziz. Could be sheep. could be goats, yani generally speaking. Now, and we're going to look at, yani, especially Sheikh Safi Rahman, rahimahullah, he's given a lot of discussion concerning some of these names and expressions and yani what they mean and what they entail. Now, okay. We're gonna discuss it now. That's why I want to read from Sheikh Mubarak 40. He gives some discussion concerning these expressions, what they mean and what they entail, what they include, and the difference, yani, between how these expressions are used, yani, traditionally and colloquially. In any case, on the bottom of page 57 is the title, and the topic, yani, begins on the top of page 58. It says, "Wafi al-ghanami." جاء حديث أنس رضي الله عنه المتضمن كتاب أبي بكر المتقدم في العبلي. يعني concerning the غنم, there has come to us the hadith of Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه المتضمن كتاب أبي بكر. يعني the hadith which contains within it the kitab, the writing, the letter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, which has preceded, yani we have read from it previously concerning the ibil. وتكميلته مما يخص الغنم, and the completion of it, of what we read from the letter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu concerning the ibil, the completion of it, and we also read concerning the cattle, the completion of it. Concerning what is particular to ghanam is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani what he said specifically related to ghanam, yani the sheep and the goats. He said, "Wafi sadaqati al-ghanami fi sa'imatiha." Wa alaykum salam. Idha kanat 40 ila 20 wa 100 shatin shatun. Yani idha kanat هي يعني الغنم 40 إلى 20 ومئة شات شات. يعني concerning the صدقة of غنم في سائمتها, يعني the free grazing غنم that are freely grazing in the land most of the year. إذا كانت 40, يعني whenever it reached 40, up until and including 120 sheep, there's one sheep that has to be given as zakat. Yani from 40 up until 120, the zakat that is to be given is one shat. One shat. Yani one sheep or one goat. فَإِذَا زَادَتْ عَلَى 20 وَمِئَةٍ إِلَى 200 فَفِيهَا شَاتَانِ. But if and when it increased above 120, up until 200, ففيها شاتان. What is the meaning of this? If it increased beyond 120, up until 200, then the zakat is شاتان. What is the meaning? Huh? Okay, two. But what about the two? Before the two, before we mention two, that's the last word that came in the sentence. From 121, إذا زادت على 20 ومئة. If إذا زادت, يعني it has to be more than 120, like 121, يعني إلى 200. إلى here means up to 200, but it means up to and including 200. Okay, because إلى has two meanings. The meaning here is up to and including 200. Then, يعني the zakat is two sheep. فإذا زادت على 200 إلى 300. إذا زادت على 200 إلى 300 ففيها ثلاث شياه. ثلاث شياه. شيان. شياه is the plural of شات. نعم. So if it increased, went above and beyond 200, يعني 201 up until 300, then the zakat here will be three sheep. Will be three sheep. So from what? From 201. From 201, yani person has 201, they have to give 3 sheep. They have 40, they have to give 1. They get to 121, they have to give 2. If they get to 201, they have to give 3. Up to 300. Note the language in this hadith is going to be very important for a point that's going to come later. إِذَا زَادَتْ عَلَى ثَلَاثِ مِيَةٍ إِذَا زَادَتْ عَلَى ثَلَاثِ مِيَةٍ فَفِي كُلِّ مِيَةٍ شَاتٌ. So up to 300, from 201 to 300, they have to give 3 sheep. 201. They only have 201 sheep. They have to give 3. Up till what? 300. But if it increased beyond 300, the calculation now is calculated according to groups of 100. If it went beyond 300, yani, إِذَا زَادَتْ عَلَى ثَلَاثِ مِيَةٍ, anything over 300, فَفِي كُلِّ مِيَةٍ شَاتٍ. The calculation is different now. For every 100, there's 1 sheep. And the calculation before was at least 40 up until 120. 1. From 121 to 202. From 201, for 201, they only have 200 plus 1, they have to give 3 sheep. But if it reached 300, yani that's up to 300, if it went over 300, now for every 100, they have to give 1 sheep. Now, what's the difference here? The difference here is that when they only had 200 sheep, they got 1 more sheep, they have to give 3 as zakat. Now, if it went beyond 300, for 300, they still given 3 sheep. 301, they're still 3 sheep. The same as 201. Huh? Very lenient. This is the, yani, the generosity and kindness and compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Up till, naam, we're going to come to it, naam. Up to 399, because now the calculation is according to hundreds, right? So if they have 300, or 301, or 350, or 390, or 399, they still don't have a fourth hundred. So it's still only 3 sheep. So actually, once they get 201, they have to give 3 sheep, and they don't have to give any more unless they get to 400. There's no more, even though they increased 100 sheep, 150 sheep, 190 sheep, they still add 3 sheep of zakat unless and until they reach 400. Naam, Abdul Halim. Naam, there's some general descriptions that always, yani, in the Sharia, when Allah is general in describing something, then there's leniency in that. Naam, because if Allah is specific, then it means that you have to come with that which is specifically mentioned. So here, yani, إِذَا زَادَتْ عَلَى ثَلَاثِ مِيَةٍ, once it go above 300, 301, the calculation now, everything else, the previous calculations are gone. It's only calculated now according to groups of 100 sheep. For every 100, 1 sheep has to be given. فَإِذَا كَانَتْ سَائِمَةُ الرَّجُلِ نَاقِسَةً مِنْ أَرْبَعِينَ شَاتٍ شَاتٌ وَاحِدَةٌ فَلَيْسَ فِيهَا صَدَقَةٌ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ رَبُّهَا. But if and when, يعني the سَائِمَة of a man, يعني the free grazing sheep of a man, is naqisatan min arba'ina, is less than 40 sheep, even one less, yani shatun wahidatun, even this, it has 39, it's almost 40 but it only has 39, whenever it's less than 40, even if it's just one less than 40, falaysa fiha sadaqatun, then there's no yani sadaqa, no zakat required on that person, unless the owner of those sheep just willingly, voluntarily wants to give something. يعني إلا أن يشاء ربها, ربها يعني صاحب الغنم ومالك الغنم. نعم. فضل وليد. رواه البخاري رحمه الله يعني إنه صحيح. نعم. Actually, that's what I'm saying. يعني some of the language here we have to pay attention to carefully, right? Let's look at the language that came in the text. إِذَا زَادَتْ عَلَى مِيَتَيْن إِلَى ثَلَاثَ مِيَتٍ. That's how it came in the text. إِلَى ثَلَاثَ مِيَتٍ فَفِيهَا ثَلَاثَ شِيَا. So, yani, the computation here is still under the original computation. Yani, up until 300, it's under the original compensation of 40 to 120, 121 to 200, 201 to 300. That's the original compensation, 1, 2, and 3, computation. But if it went over 300, that's when the new computation comes in, that is by 100s. So yes, it's true that another sheep is not going to be increased until it gets to 400. So, yani, up until 399, they still have 3 sheep. That's true. But as far as the computation, yani, that at 400, it changes. That actually, once it reaches over 300, the computation changes. And there's not going to be an extra sheep that's required to be given unless it reaches 400. So, in practical, yani, from a practical consideration, yes, they're only going to give 3 sheep up until they get to 399. But in terms of the computation up to 300 is one way of computating, and after 300 is another way of computation. So we don't want to mix the two computations. We don't want to mix them, even though for practical purposes, yes, yani, they're not going to give another sheep unless they reach 400. And Sheikh Uthaymeen mentions this, and he mentions exactly this point, but he doesn't change the computation that came before that. And he still sticks to that computation, and then he adds that, yes, yani, there's not going to be an increase in zakat until they reach, yani, up until 399, they're still under the same number of 3 sheep. He mentions that, inshallah. But, So the original compensation computation, if it didn't go over 300, the original computation is 40 to 120, 121 to 200, 201 to 300. There are 3 levels of computation there. If it goes over 300, that's when the new computation comes. It's just a matter of, for every 100 sheep, there's 1 sheep in zakat. Okay, this is the hadith, and this is all that was mentioned in the book, yani Arabic Lessons in Fiqh for Level 3. So, for the explanation of this hadith, I refer us to, let me just say that in Al-Wajiz, they really didn't bring anything different. They brought the same hadith, the hadith of Anas, and they mentioned after that hadith the shurut of the obligation of zakat of Al-Mawashi. Yani on page 223, they mentioned the shurut. And those are shurut that we previously mentioned, I think, in the first session dealing with livestock. We said that it has to reach the nisab, which is going to be different according to what kind of wealth you have. And it has to be kept, yani the person has to have that minimum nisab for a period of 1 year. And also it has to be free grazing livestock that are eating from the land, freely eating from the land most of the year. So they mentioned this right under the hadith in Al-Wajiz, and then after that, the subject changed. Okay, so we're going to go to the commentary of Sheikh Safi al-Rahman al-Mubarak Fouri, rahimahullah, and the explanation that he gave for this particular hadith, and the explanation that he gave for some of the words that came in this hadith. And some of it is from a linguistic perspective, and this is very good for students who are studying Arabic language, and for those who may not be studying Arabic language or may not be at this level, then also it's good to be aware of these things, even if it's not fully comprehended. But he does mention some linguistic points that are of benefit, inshallah, for some. Okay, so the Shaykh, his commentary on this hadith, yani, or at least the point that we want to read from, is on page 173 and page 174 of the commentary on Bulugh al-Maram, Sheikh Safi al-Rahman Mubarak Fouri, rahimahullah. So the hadith, yani in the original book, Bulugh al-Maram, is mentioned, and it goes on to say, yani what we read already, fi sadaqat al-ghanam, fi sa'imatiha. So the Shaykh, he begins his explanation here from this expression, fi sa'imatiha. He said that this expression, yani, which literally means what? Fi sa'imatiha. Free grazing, yani sheep, because in the beginning of it, it said what? It said fi sadaqat al-ghanam. Fi sadaqat al-ghanam. Then it says fi sa'imatiha. He said that this expression, fi sa'imatiha, is a badal min sadaqat al-ghanam.
Yani, it's not something different, but rather it's yani a substitute for that expression. Fi sadaqatil ghanam, yani fi sa'imatiha. Yani the sadaqa in the free grazing sheeps or goats. And this is a condition, yani that the zakat is obligatory only if they are free grazing, yani most of the year. The Shaykh, he says, so the meaning of sa'imatiha, he said the meaning of this is as-sa'ima min al-ghanam hiya lati ta'ishu bi ra'yi wala ta'lifu illa qalilan wala ta'lifu yani with ayn ta'lifu illa qalilan. So the sa'ima is the ghanam which lives from grazing on the land. Ta'ishu bi ra'yi, yani from that which is yani grazing on the land. Wala ta'lif, yani it is not fed except a little. Yani meaning that the owner may feed them sometimes for need or necessity, but most of the time they are just eating that which is on the land. Wahuwa qaydun yajibu bihi al-amal inda al-jumhur. Yani here the Shaykh makes an important point, a fiqh point, related to this expression as it came in this hadith, that this expression is a qaid, yani it is a stipulation, yani for the obligation of zakat on the ghanam, it's stipulated that it must be free grazing animals. Yajibu bihi al-amal عند الجمهور, meaning that the majority of the scholars hold it yani obligatory to act upon this stipulation. They hold it obligatory that we yani consider, that we give full consideration to this stipulation, yani meaning that if they are not free grazing most of the year, then there's no zakat on them. فَهُمْ يَشْتَرِتُونَ السَّوْمْ لِوُجُوبِ الزَّكَاتِ yani sawm, yani meaning sa'im, yani from sa'ima. Yani they make as a shart, a condition, that those animals must be free grazing in order for the zakat to be obligatory upon their owner. The next expression he talks about is the number. Yani, إِذَا كَانَتْ أَرْبَعِينَ إِلَىٰ إِشْرِينَ وَمِيَّ شَاتٍ. Yani, he said, إِلَىٰ إِشْرِينَ وَمِيَّ شَاتٍ. He said, yani, شَاتٍ شَاتٌ. Yani, إِلَىٰ يعني إِشْرِينَ وَمِيَّ شَاتٍ شَاتٌ. Yani, the word شَات came twice. He said, بِجَرْ الْكَلِمَةَ شَاتٍ الْأُولَى على أنها التمييز مية ورفع كلمة شات الثانية على أنها مبتدأ خبرها ما تقدم من قوله في صدقة الغنم. يعني this is from a linguistic perspective. يعني as far as the إعراب of the sentence, he said that مية شات, يعني the first word شات is تمييز for مية, مية شات. So we know that the تمييز of مية and ألف is going to be yani mufrad majrur, mufrad majrur. It's going to be singular and it's going to be in the genitive case. So that's why it's miyati shatin, and then shatun, the same word but came marfu'un. The second shat is raf, yani ala annaha mubtada, because actually it is the mubtada of the sentence, yani mubtada muakhar. Wa khabruha, and its khabr is what has preceded in the beginning of the statement, fi sadaqat al-ghanam. Yani, fi sadaqat al-ghanam. So, what would be the explanation of why it is, why shatun, yani, is delayed here, out of its place? Naam. Because the mubtada is nakiratun, and the khabar is a shibu jumla. Okay, so we said that, usually the mubtada, the general rule is mubtada comes first, but, yani, the order must be reversed. If the mubtada is nakira, indefinite, and the khabar is a shibah jumla, and we see here that shatun is nakira, it's indefinite, and its khabar, yani, fi sadaqat al-ghanam, is jaa wal-majroor shibah jumla, and that's why the khabar is coming delayed, and the mubtada is coming delayed, and the khabar is coming before it. Okay, so this is a linguistic point that is good for us to remember for those yani, who are studying Arabic. Naam. Now he explains the question. Who asked about the shat, Abdulaziz? The Shaykh, he says, a shat تأم الذكر والأنثر الدعن والمعز. يعني شات, this particular word includes the male and female. It includes male and female. And it also includes the da'an and it includes the ma'az. Yani da'an actually is a word that is like a collective noun. Collective noun means it's a noun that is generally used for the whole of the jinns. General, yeah. Like for example, fruit is general, right? Includes all types of fruit. So we call that a collective noun. So this here, yani a da'an is a collective noun. So yani the meaning of da'an and ma'az, yani it means collectively all of this type of animal is included here. And then to be more specific, it also includes yani the goats. So it includes sheep and goats generally, male and female. So in this hadith, the meaning of shat, it doesn't specifically mean that it has to be female. Rather, it means male and female, because this word, it includes masculine and feminine, even though it ends with ta marbuta, and it also includes yani what? It was known as da'an, da'an and ma'iz, sheep and goats. The yani, this expression came in reference to what though? It came in reference to both the animal, the wealth itself, and the zakat. It came in reference to both of them. That yani, ishreen, wamiya, shatin, that is the wealth that the person possesses, and the zakat is shatun. So it came in reference to the wealth, yani being general, male or female, and the zakat being general as well. Wal ghanam, he also says, wal ghanam muradif lishat. Yani ghanam, what is the meaning of muradif? The muradif is a word that has the same meaning. Yani it's used in exchange for it, muradif. So the meaning of here, he's saying that the word ghanam is a synonym for shat. Ghanam is a synonym for shat. So, like we're seeing a lot of words here, ghanam, shat, yani, da'an, ma'iz, but some of these words are exchangeable, interchangeable, synonyms for one another. Al-ghanam, muradif, lishat. Fa'idha zadat, yani he goes on to the rest of the hadith, fa'idha zadat ala ishreen wa miya, if it went above ishreen wa miya, yani from 40 to 120 is one animal has to be given, but if it goes above that, وَلَوْ وَاحِدًا يعني he said إِذَا زَادَتْ يعني even one more sheep, 121, just one sheep, then what? Then يعني they have to give two animals as zakat. فَإِذَا زَادَتْ عَلَى ثَلَاثِ مِيَةٍ but if it increased above ثَلَاثَ مِيَةٍ يعني even one animal, فَفِي كُلِّ مِيَةٍ شَاتْ the computation changes here, whenever it went above 300, computation now is according to groups of 100 animals. Yani, for every 100, there's one shat that has to be given. Now here, this is the point of ikhtilaf. This is the point of ikhtilaf. The Shaykh says, ظاهر أنها لا تجب الشات الرابع حتى تفي أربعمية. Yani, what is apparent from the wording of the hadith is that it is not obligatory to give a fourth sheep. It's not obligatory to give a fourth sheep as zakat until the number of that person's sheep completes or reaches 400. So that means if we went, yani as we said earlier, if we went from 201 to 300, it's under the original computation. And some people, there's an opinion that if it went above 300 to 301, yani then the fourth sheep is required. According to the way it was calculated before, because it says up to 300. So if up to 300 is three sheep, then if it goes above 300, they said even one above 300, 301, they have to give fourth sheep. But if you look at the text of the letter itself, he said, yeah, and if it goes above 300, the computation changes. Then now you compensate by 100. It didn't say if it goes above it, you have to give a fourth sheep. It says that we have a different system of computation by every 100. So even if you have 301, how many hundreds do you have? You still only have three. If you have 399, you have how many groups of 100? Still only have three. You still only have three. So it's important here to look at the text sometime of the wording that came in the text to be clear on something. And the Shaykh is saying here, he's alluding to the fact that there's some difference of opinion. That's why he says, ظاهر. Yani, what is apparent is that it's not obligatory to give a fourth sheep until that person's herd or flock reaches the complete number of 400. وَهُوَ قَوْلَ الْجُمْهُورِ. And this is the view of the majority of scholars. And again, this is an indication of what? Whenever you see in a fiqh book, يعني قول الجمهور, then you know that, يعني, that means that there's some difference of opinion. But this is the majority opinion. That until it reaches 400, يعني there's, you don't have to give a fourth sheep. So as Waleed said earlier, from 201 to 399, it's still three sheep. Okay? This is the view of the majority of scholars. وَقِيلَ, and it has been said, إِذَا زَادَتْ عَلَى ثَلَاثِ مِيَةِ وَاحِدَ فَفِيهَا أَرْبَعَ شِيَا. It has been said, yani meaning there is a view, other than the majority view, that if the person's flock went above 300, to 301, then at 301 they have to give four sheep. This is a view. But the majority view, and what is more clear from the text, is that they don't have to give a fourth sheep until they get, till they have a complete number of 400, and that is because the computation, when it goes above 300, is according to groups of 100 sheep. I hope that is clear. And then, yani, for clarification on this particular difference of opinion, the Sheikh also brings some further kalam. Go ahead, question. Counts as one, for sure. It counts as one. But there's some further detail concerning this particular matter. But it's one. It's one. I mean, if the animal is bearing a fetus, then it's not born. It's not counting as a camel or a sheep or anything until it's born. Yeah. Counts as one, but one heavy one. Okay, but on the point of the difference here, this is a very important point, and this is something also. I just want to make a note here that, you know, sometimes we read the text in a particular issue, ayah from the Quran or hadith or more than one, and we didn't read everything in that subject, all the evidences that came, and what might appear to be correct from one reading of one evidence or two or three might be clarified in another evidence. So we have to sometimes, before you take a firm stand on something, you have to read a comprehensive view of the evidences concerning that matter. Like here, the reading of this text here could really go either way. It's possible that the second, the minority view, that once you go over 300, that you have to give the next sheep, that's possible to understand that like that. But maybe there's an evidence that clarifies the matter decisively so that it eliminates the difference of opinion. Okay, so here the Sheikh, he brings what? The majority view, which is the apparent view of the text of what is mentioned here, because it says if it goes above 300, the computation starts now in a different way. The over 300, the computation is according to how many hundred sheep you have. So if you have over 300, whether you have 301 or 390, you still don't have 400. So it's still three sheep according to hundreds, and that's how the computation is. But if somebody understands it differently, now the Sheikh, he brings any further evidence outside of the original text that we're reading that clarifies the issue. He says here that يؤيده, يعني the majority view, he said, يعني the first view, الأول أرجح, يعني it is stronger, is more preponderant, the first view, the view of the جمهور. ويؤيده ما رواه الترمذي رحمه الله عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه مرفوعا. يعني what supports the majority view, the جمهور, the first view, and strengthens it, is that which has been recorded by Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, from Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, marfu'un, yani marfu'un meaning attributed to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani Abdul ibn Umar is saying that, ya rahimahullah, that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, فَإِذَا زَادَتْ عَلَى ثَلَاثِ مِيَةٍ شَاتٍ فَفِي كُلِّ مِيَةِ شَاتٍ شَاتٌ. يعني فَإِذَا زَادَتْ عَلَى ثَلَاثِ مِيَةِ شَاتٍ, يعني if it increased above 300 sheep, فَفِي كُلِّ مِيَةِ شَاتٍ, then in every 100 shat, يعني sheep, شَاتٌ, there's one shat for zakat. ثُمَّ, Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, ثُمَّ لَيْسَ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ ثُمَّ لَيْسَ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ حَتَّى تَبْلُغَ أَرْبَعَ مِيَتِ. And then, yani when it went over 300, there's no more zakat on it, extra, until it reaches 400. Yani when it reaches 400, then what? For every 100, there's a sheep. That's when the fourth sheep comes in. This is a hadith from Abdul ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, reported by At-Tirmidhi, which yani is the clarification of the general understanding. The zahir, this is the zahir meaning. This is the apparent meaning, but it's disputable. It could be understood in another way. This particular hadith, yani clarifies it. Naam, Waleed. I'm not really familiar with the issue that well. I'm not that familiar with it. And you have to read a little bit more detail. Yani what we're doing in this particular class is basically just trying to give the initial information concerning the subject. But like you can go into some of the more detailed books, like you might find, for example, in the explanation of the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, or you might find in the a greater discussion in a book like Nail al-Awtar by Imam al-Shawkani, where he usually would discuss the various views concerning any issue where there's difference of opinion. He's going to discuss all the views, yani not one or two, but whatever views he's aware of, he's going to bring them. He's going to bring the evidence for each opinion, what their evidences are, and then he's going to yani say which one he feels is the strongest and why. Okay, so that's the kind of book you want to read when you want to go into the details of this. If you check in Nail al-Awtar, probably you may find yani some discussion on yani what's their argument. Because yani in that discussion of the difference of Nail al-Awtar, yani by Imam al-Shawkani, it's a book of hadith, any explanation of a book of hadith, Muntaqa al-Akbar. The original book of hadith is collected by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah's grandfather, Al-Majd ibn Taymiyyah. He collected the book, Muntaqa al-Akbar. The explanation of it is by Imam al-Shawkani, Nail al-Awtar. That's the book that's famous, yani the explanation. It's a tremendous book. It's a book of hadith. But yani the fiqh is given there in some detail, different views, their evidences, and how each of them respond to the other party. Yani he also mentions the first group, they responded to the second group, or whatever evidence they had, how they refuted them, how they argued against them, and so on. And then the Raji, which is the stronger view in his way he sees it, and why it is. Usually he'll mention all of those things about a particular issue. Naam. Okay. So this is what he says here. He mentions this hadith, the hadith of Abdul bin Umar. And then he goes on, and he just a couple of other expressions that came in this hadith. In the end of the hadith, it says, فَإِذَا كَانَتْ سَائِمَةَ الرَّجُلْ يعني سائمة الرجل أي مواشيه يعني his livestock in this case غنم. If the livestock of a man يعني is ناقصة يعني بالنصب خبر كانت يعني in this hadith the word ناقصة, he said that it is منسوب. Why is it منسوب? Because it is the خبر of كانت, and we know that the ism كان is marfoon and khabaru kana is mansubun. So he said, yani this is how it's read, yani فَإِذَا كَانَتْ سَائِمَةُ الرَّجُلِ نَاقِسَةً. Yani سَائِمَة is ism kana, كَانَتْ marfoon, and yani رَجُلُ is مُضَافٌ إِلَيْهِ مَجْرُوَ, and نَاقِسَة yani is khabaru kana mansub, yani بالنص khabaru kanat. And then he says, yani if that is so, that the person's animals, livestock, free-grazing animals, is ناقصةً, يعني deficient, من أربعين شاتاً, شاتاً واحدةً. يعني if his cattle, sheep, are deficient, less than 40 sheep. يعني less than them by even one sheep. By even one sheep. And notice that yani the voweling of these words is very important in terms of the grammatical explanation. He said, إِذَا كَانَتْ نَاقِسَةً مِنْ أَرْبَعِينَ شَاتًا يعني less deficient from 40 sheep. Shatan again mansub wahidatan. يعني even one sheep he made the shatan wahidatan mansub also. He said both of these words shat. Both times it came, it is bin nasbi. يعني mansub. The first of them is mansub. يعني why is the first one mansub? إذا كانت ناقصة يعني سائمة الرجل ناقصة من أربعين شاتن تمييز أربعين. The تمييز of أربعين is going to be منسوب. And the second one شاتن واحدة, he gave two explanations for it, يعني for grammatical benefit. He said الثاني على نزع الخافض أي بشاتن واحدة أو على أنه مفعول لقول ناقصة أي إذا كان عند الرجل سائمة تنقص واحدة من أربعين فلا زكاة فيها. Okay, so the meaning here he's saying, يعني the first word is mansub, obviously it's the tamyiz of the number أربعين. And the second one he said is mansub على نزع الخافض. You know what is الخافض? الخافض يعني in the western part of the Muslim lands at that time, Andalus, yani they use the word khafid, yani khaft in place of jar. Yani we say majrur, they say makhfud. Yani it means the same as the genitive case. So he's saying here that the meaning of naza al khafid, it means because of the removal of the khafid, removal of the harf jar. Yani because of the removal of the harf jar, which would make it, يعني which would make it ناقصة من أربعين شاتا ب شات واحدة. But because the B is not there making it مجرور, so it became منسوب. Because the B has been, يعني the preposition B, يعني if it was deficient from 40 sheep by one, يعني B شات واحدة, but the ba, the خافد, the thing, the harf jar that makes it مجرور, has been removed and therefore it became mansub. Or the other explanation, it could be the maf'ul of naqisa, yani naqisa here meaning the verb yanqusu. Yani yanqusu, yani shatan wahidatan. Yani if it's deficient by one shat, in that case it would be clear, it would be maf'ul and be mansub. Okay, after this grammatical discussion, yani the Shaykh he closes by saying, إذا نقصت أكثر من واحدة فبد طريق الأولى. Yani if the person's flock is yani deficient from 40, yani less than it by one sheep, then there's no zakat on it. And he said if it's less than that, then بطريق الأولى, yani then it's more so reason for there to be no zakat. Yani if a person has 39 and there's no zakat, then certainly if they have 38 or 35 or 30 or 20, then it's clear, yani بطريق الأولى, that there's no zakat on them. This is what the Sheikh Safi of Rahman Mubarak 40 has mentioned concerning this. And what remains is a little bit of discussion from Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, where he discussed this in, what's the name of the book? Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen. What book are we using as a secondary source? Al-Jami' Al-Jami' Li-Ahkam Fiqh Al-Sunnah. This book is a valuable book, treasure, really. I mean, if you like fiqh, then it's a book that you should have. And the Shaykh, he's a faqih, one of the greatest scholars of fiqh in this era, in this time period, for sure, without a doubt. And he is also from the people of Sunnah, and for that reason, yeah, he's not like the faqih of the modern time, who just knows the fiqh of his madhab, but he's like the faqih of the earlier time, who knew the evidences from the Sunnah. Yani like the likes of Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i and Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. Yani more so Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, because Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah was known to be a scholar of hadith, when in fact there's no doubt that he was an imam of fiqh, equal to the four imams, Imam Al-Bukhari, naam, rahimahullah. So Al-Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he's a faqih in this sense, and he's a faqih who has knowledge of the hadith, of the sunnah. And he says on page 83, volume 3 of Al-Jami' Li-Ahkam Fiqh Al-Sunnah. This has nothing to do with the book Fiqh Al-Sunnah by Sayyid Sabiq. It has nothing to do with it. He's just using the expression Fiqh Al-Sunnah. Al-Jami' yani the comprehensive collection of the Ahkam, the legal rulings from the Fiqh of Sunnah. from the fiqh that's based on the sunnah, not based on the madhab. Not based on the madhab. So you just want to understand this title. What is actually being said here, okay? By Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, volume 3, page 83, he says, Zakat al-ghanam, وَيَجِبُ فِي أَرْبَعِينَ مِنَ الْغَنَمِ شَاتٌ. It is obligatory if a person has 40 sheep to give one sheep as zakat. And then that's the quote from the original text of the fiqh book. And the sheikh explains it by saying, Yani, in 40 of the sheep, Yani, if a person has 40 sheep, they have to give one sheep as zakat. فَإِذَا أَخْرَجَهَا وَدَارَ عَلَيْهِ الْحَوْلَ وَلَمْ تَزِدْ بَلْ بَقِيَتْ 39 شات فَلَيْسَ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ فَإِذَا أَخْرَجَهَا. If a person has 40 sheep, he has to give one sheep as zakat. فَإِذَا أَخْرَجَهَا. What is the meaning? If he has taken it out, he has removed the zakat from his wealth, right? Because zakat is a purification. If a person doesn't give the zakat, it corrupts their wealth, right? So if they removed it, they gave the zakat that was due, وَدَارَ عَلَيْهِ الْحَوْلِ, and 1 year passed over that flock, after he paid the zakat, 1 year passed over, zakat is due again after 1 year, right? وَلَمْ تَزِدْ بَلْ بَقِيَتْ 99 شَاتًا. But he didn't get any more sheep. They didn't increase. But rather they remained as 39 sheep. Then what? فَلَيْسَ فِيهَا شَيْءٌ. There's no zakat the next year for him. Why? He didn't reach the nisab. He's under the nisab. He reached the nisab, he pays the zakat, he doesn't have nisab anymore. Even though a year passed, he's under the nisab, there's no zakat. لِأَنَّهَا نَقَسَتْ عَنَ النِّسَابِ. Because it is less than the nisab. It's 39. It's less than the nisab. Nisab is 40. 40 to 120, right? If he had 40 and he gave one as zakat, he only has 39 now. If he didn't get any more sheep for the whole year, naam. وَأَقَلُّ النِّسَابِ الْغَنَمْ 40 شَاتْ. The least of the nisab, the minimum, bare minimum nisab for sheep is 40. وَالْوَاجِبْ فِيهَا شَاتٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. And what is obligatory in that 40 is to give one sheep. He quotes from the text of the fiqh book that he's explaining, وَفِي مِيَةٍ وَإِحْدَى وَإِشْرِينَ شَاتًا. But if a person has, يعني, مِيَة وَإِحْدَى وَإِشْرِينَ, 121. Because the first nisab, right, is from 40 to 120. But if a person has 121, then the zakat is shatan, yani two sheeps. Here the sheikh says, wal waqas. Al waqas means, yani the amount in between one level of zakat to the next level. Yani what is in between there, even though the person has more animals, it didn't reach the next level of obligatory zakat. So that's called al waqas. He said the waqas here is 80. Meaning, person reached 40, they have to give one sheep. Until 120, meaning they have an increase of 80 more sheep, still there's no zakat on it. That's called the amount that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani they have an increase, but there's no zakat on that increase. It's 80 here. Fafi 40 shat, shatun wahid. If a person has 40, they have to give one shat. Wafi 120, shatun wahid kadalik. And if they have 120, it's still only one shat. So that means from 40 to 120 is 80 sheep of increase. Person has 120, they get 80 more. They're still good on that one sheep they gave. There's no more for them. And they don't have to give anything more. Wallahu Akbar. وَفِي مِيَة وَإِشْرِينَ شَاتٌ وَاحِدٌ ثَمَانُونَ شَاتًا لَا شَيْءَ فِيهَا. Here's 80 sheep that the person increased. There's no zakat on them. Sheikh says, Subhanallah. وَهَذَا مِنْ تَيْسِيرَ الشَّرْحِ فَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. And this is the ease, the facility of the Sharia, of the law of Allah, and the praise belongs to Allah. The next expression, the Shaykh said, وَفِي مِيَتَيْنِ وَوَاحِدَةٍ ثَلَاثُ شِيَاهٍ. If a person has 201 sheep, then they have to give what? 201. Three. They have to give three. Because 120, they have to give one. 121, they have to give two. 121 to 200, they have to give two. He went skipped from there, he went straight to 201. 201, they have to give three sheeps. And after 200, it's just two. If they got one over, it became three sheeps. Here the sheikh says, وَالْوَقَصْ Yani the amount of increase that's allowed without any further zakat is 80. Yani from what? From 201 to 300. From 201. Oh, I'm sorry. From yani from 40 to 120. From 120. From 120 to 200. Yani is 80. From 120 to 200 is 80. He said, so this amount also of increase without zakat is 80. إذن الوقص في فرض الثاني. So, and in the second level, the amount of increase that doesn't have any zakat on it is the same as in the first level. From 40 to 120, from 120 to 200. Yani the amount of increase that is free from zakat in both cases is 80. Is 80. Yani from 40 to 120 is 80. From 121 to 200 is 80 also. Here the Shaykh says, ثُمَّ فِي كُلِّ مِيَةٍ شَاتْ. After this point, yani meaning when it reaches 300, yani for every, when it goes over 300, for every 100 there's one sheep that has to be given. أي إِذَا زَادَتْ عَنْ مِيَتَيْن وَوَاحِدَةٍ. If it went above, yani 201, فَفِي كُلِّ مِيَةٍ شَاتْ. In every 100 after that, but it has to what? It has to get to 300 or 400 or 500, then there's one sheep for every 100. فَتَسْتَكِرُّ الْفَرِيضَةُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ فَفِي ثَلَاثَمِيَةٍ ثَلَاثَ شِيَاءٍ. So then, yani the farida, the obligation, remains steady after this. Yani, it remains steady. That is, that for every 100, yani there's one sheep. So if a person has 300, they have to give 3 sheep. If they have 399, they have to give how many sheep? 3 sheep. So it remained, yani, as 3 sheep. لِأَنَّهَا لَمْ تُتِمَّ الْمِيَةَ الرَّابِيَةَ. Because it didn't reach the fourth group of 100. وَإِذَا لَمْ يَلْحَقْ الْفَرْضِ الثَّانِي. This is the principle. إِذَا لَمْ يَلْحَقْ الْفَرْضِ الثَّانِي يُلْحَقْ بِفَرْضِ الْأُولَى. Yani, if the amount didn't reach the next level of obligation, then it's connected to the previous level of obligation. So the previous level was for 300. Yani, they have to give 3 sheep. So, yani, it didn't reach the next level. The next level will be 400. So that means it goes back to the previous level, 201. Yani, 3 sheep. 3 sheep. It's connected to the previous, yani, obligation. And here he says, the waqas, yani, the amount of increase that's allowed without any increase in zakat. Here the waqas is what? Yani, min miya, miyatain wa wahidatin. إِلَى ثَلَاثَ مِيَةٍ وَتِسَ وَتِسْعِينَ. What is the increase that's free of zakat? Yani in the first level was 80, in the second level was 80. In this level, it's from 201 to 399 because it didn't reach 400 yet. Yani in 201 it became 3 sheep, right? Up until 399. It remained as 3 sheep. So the waqas, yani the amount of increase that's free is 198, because 201 up until 199, because if it reached 399, because if it reached 400, خلاص, then you have to give 4 sheep. وهذا أكثر الوقص يوجد في الغنم, and this is the most يعني amount of increase that's free of zakat, يعني concerning the غنم, يعني that it is 198 sheep of increase, no zakat on them after 201. ففي ثلاثمية, yani if you have 300, there's 3 sheep. If you have 400, there's 4 sheep. And if you have 399, there's still only 3 sheep. This is the end of what the Shaykh said here. Yani, نعم يا الوا يا وليد, بارك الله فيكم. فضل. Okay, I'm gonna answer your question. If anybody has any question about what we read up until, we'll take the question and then we're going to stop, inshallah. Because normally we go over time a little bit. Today, inshallah, we're not going to go over time, we said, right? Naam. We're going to take Waleed's question first and then Abdul Hadi. Naam. Okay, everybody listen to the question, right? Because everybody should be able to answer his question now.
From 201 up to 399.
Naam.
201 is included in there. And 399 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that make it 199, not 198? The number itself is included.
If we say it's 198, right? 198 increase on 201. So that would be 399. If it goes over that 99, that would be 400, and then it's on a different grade, right? Alhamdulillah, thank you, Abdulaziz. I am extremely tired today. I appreciate your help. Any other question? Oh yeah, Abdul Hadi. No. And then Sadiq. Fiqh al-Sunnah. Unfortunately, it's not in English. It's not in English. But of course, I mean, since we are all here studying Arabic, right? So, you know, when I first bought the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir, I couldn't read it. I couldn't read it. But I had intent to, struggle with the Arabic language until I was able to read it. So at that time, I could read a little bit of it and understand a little bit, and I would get help, and then I just kept pressing until I was able to read it. So, make intention. Make intention. The first books I bought in Arabic, at the time I bought them, I could only read a little bit of it. And some of you definitely can read much better than I was reading at that time. So you should be start buying your books in Arabic. Some of you are reading 100% better than I was reading at that time when I bought those books. And then when I went to Hajj in 1978, I bought Arabic books. And at that time, I couldn't really understand those books very well. But a little bit, but not very well. So it was my intent that I'm going to buy these books, and that's going to be my encouragement to learn Arabic more and more and more until I'm able to read them. And it's not long after not long before you'll be able to read them. Some of you, mashallah, alhamdulillah, are reading very, very well right now. The books that we are reading, that we are studying, the subjects that we are studying in Arabic, you're understanding them almost completely, 100%. So these are real Arabic books that we are studying. And those books are Arabic books too, same, not much different. Yeah, they're not much different. I would suggest that anybody who's in level 2 or level 3, they should start looking at the important Arabic books that they want to buy, and buy them gradually according to your means. Otherwise, if you're not really interested in books, possessing books like that, you can read online, from your telephone or your pad or your, what do you call those things? iPad, laptop, whatever, all that kind of stuff. They got some other names for them too, don't they? Huh? Tablets and all kind of things like that. Okay. Sadiq, now. Yeah, I would suggest that we buy some of these books. Gradually, little by little. It's good to have books. But otherwise, alhamdulillah, we have electronic means today, so you can save yourself a lot of money by just trying to search for some of those books online, and they're free. Now.
My question is, the zakat, but not with sheep towards a camel.
No.
If the farmer has like other animals, like chickens and turkeys and stuff like that.
No.
How does he do zakat?
Well, there's no zakat on chickens and pigeons and any other stuff that people have. not every. If he used them to sell. If he sells them, if he raises them to sell them, then it comes under the zakat of merchandise. What's, urud al-tijara. Urud al-tijara means whatever people are possessing, are acquiring in order to sell, to do trade with it. If the intent behind it is trade, then they have to pay the zakat of urud al-tijara. If it's not, if they're just using it for themselves, then there's no zakat on it. There's not zakat on every type of wealth. Okay, even urud al-tijara, there's difference of opinion. There are some scholars who hold that there's no zakat on urud al-tijara, and there's no clear textual proof for it. But the majority of scholars hold that there is zakat on it. The minority hold that it's not. And their position is based on the fact that there's no clear text for urud al-tijara, for trade. Merchandise that's kept for buying and selling. There's no clear proof that you have to give zakat on it. But the majority of scholars hold that it is, and they have their argument, and we're going to discuss it when we come to that. But the point is, not every type of wealth is required that a person gives zakat on it. Not every type of wealth. Okay, so there are certain types of wealth from amongst the wealth that we know that's clear in the text are the livestock, which we began with. There's also yani money, like gold and silver, or whatever is the currency of the people in that time. You know, and then there's yani agriculture, yani fruits and agriculture that yani people grow on the land. And then there's also yani zakat on buried treasure. Somebody finds yani some treasure that was from Jahiliyyah, from the disbelievers. And of course, if it was from the Muslims, then it should be returned, and it should be an attempt to return it. Otherwise, if it's from the Jahiliyyah time, then there's yani there's zakat on it, a very high rate of zakat, because the person didn't do anything to get it. But the main zakat that we're going to talk about are four, yani agriculture, livestock, money, and yani merchandise that's for trade. And other wealth that people have other kinds of wealth, right? They're not taxable. There's no zakat on them.
So the wealth that the treasure that is defined.
Yeah.
The zakat is paid immediately, right?
It's paid immediately, now. There's no waiting. Yani, there's no waiting periods. It's the same like crops, agriculture. When the harvest comes, the zakat is upon it. There's no waiting period. Okay, so the nisab and the hawl, 1 year, is general conditions for zakat, but there are some exceptions to it. Okay, so we're going to stop here, inshallah. And Naam, Abdulaziz? No, when we say the majority, we mean, like, it's a general expression that's used for the majority of scholars. Yani, meaning that most of the scholars agree on this. Yani, most of the scholars agree on it, but there may be some few scholars who have a different view. So when we say jamhur, we mean that the overwhelming majority of the scholars agree on this. But there may be a few scholars here and there who don't agree with that view of the majority. So, yani, their view also has to be considered. It is possible that the minority view could be the stronger view, and the majority view might not be the stronger view. That's possible. It doesn't mean because they're the majority they have to be right. Rather, it could be the minority view could be right, and we have to look at that. But generally speaking, yani, the majority of scholars, if they agree upon something, even though there's a minority view, there's some difference of opinion about it, probably the majority is going to be correct, but not in every case. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I don't know if some of you came later. I just want to let you know that I did get a hard copy from the printer yesterday for our book for Ramadan. And hopefully this week on Monday or Tuesday, we're going to try to negotiate a contract with these people to print this book for Ramadan. We're a little bit behind schedule this year. But anyway, this is the book that we're going to be doing if anybody came late. It's entitled Etiquettes and Supplications of the Prophet for One Who's Going to the Congregational Prayers by Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Badr. And also included is a brief essay by Al-Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz, The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Manner of Performing Prayer. And a brief essay by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, The Manner of Purification and Prayer for the Sick Person. And both of these essays are tremendous benefit, mashallah. Both of them are relatively brief, but they are of great benefit. I mean, even myself, in reading them over, I spent a good portion of last night reading through this, knowing that I was going to be here all day, and that I want to give approval to the printer tomorrow to print. I found a lot of benefit, even though I've already read them so many times. But they are tremendous benefit, both of those essays by the two imams. So, that we usually distribute these books in the masjids, Islamic centers, and schools. If anybody knows an imam or an administrator of a masjid or Islamic center or school, we like to deal with the people who are in charge so that the book is, and it goes to where it's intended, and that is to be distributed free to the people in the masajid and in the schools, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So if you know anybody, we have a letter, inshallah, introducing the book and the program that how we normally do it, cooperating in the distribution of the book. If anybody knows an imam or an administrator, please take a copy of the letter and to your masjids and to the people that you know, so that they can help us to get this book out to more and more people. Our intent is to print 10,000 copies, but hopefully I would rather print 15,000 or more. We'll see how it goes. As of now, we're going to print at least 10,000. But I expect that we may print more than that. I expect we may print 15,000. It depends on any of the orders that we get. If we get more orders, then we'll print more.
I'm not trying to hold on to them because we just, you know, the purpose is to distribute them, right? I don't want to print 20,000 and we can only distribute 15,000. And likewise, I know we can distribute 10,000 easily. So that's why we're going to start with that number. But it would be nice. Any 2 years ago or 3 years ago, we printed 17,000. And it was really very successful. It reached a lot of people and it's beneficial, you know. So please cooperate in this affair. Okay, Abdul Halim.